Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, Matt and Steve get into Major League Baseball, including the Mets and the Blue Jays, plus our comprehensive NFL divisional preview. That on top of the Tweet Zone and Sports Madness, it's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
You can find us every single week right here. Find us on Twitter, at The Sports Appeal. We love to interact with you guys. We try to respond to every single person who tweets at us, whether we do it on the show or on Twitter. Hit us up. All the show's music is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. You can find all of their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. As always, we've got our stellar producer with us, Johnny Five.
And we are powered by Hazard Audio.
The NFL preseason is upon us, so we're going to do a comprehensive league preview for you guys. This week, we're going to start with three different conferences, the AFC West, South, and North. We're going to do some sports madness, of course. But first, let's start with Major League Baseball. There's a little bit of a changing of the guard, especially in the eastern part of the country here, Matt, with the Mets taking over first place, surpassing the Nationals, and the Toronto Blue Jays taking over the wild card, and they're hot on the heels of the Yankees.
The New York Mets are playing some great baseball right now. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've taken over from the Washington Nationals, who are basically in free fall right now. They've lost 6 of their last 8 games, including getting swept by the Mets. They're now 2.5 games back of the Mets in the Eastern Conference, and they're 4 games back at the second wild card spot, so they are not looking good right now. They are seriously underperforming this season.
They are. Expectations were really high for the Nationals coming into the season. You and I both expected them to be World Series contenders, and we were not alone with that. A lot of people did. Doug Fister has not performed up to potential. He's actually moving to the bullpen now that Strasburg's coming back. That's the one thing that could help this team turn around, is if Strasburg comes back strong. They need to stop this free fall you're talking about, because if they lose a few more games, it's going to turn into a three-team race for the two wildcard spots really quickly.
Considering that they have Bryce Harper, who's putting up an MVP season right now, and then they've got that sick pitching staff that they just added Max Scherzer to over the winter, they really need to be doing better than they are right now.
Absolutely, and the Mets have been on fire. They've won 7 games in a row. They have a couple winning streaks like this season, but their hitting has really stepped up since they added Cespedes. I didn't think it would make that big a difference, but he's been a spark.
Now, let's talk about the American League East. How confident do you feel in your Yankees' lead in the division right now?
Not confident about the Yankees right now. I mean, we're still 3.5 games clear of Toronto right now, but it feels like we're chasing them, and that's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty unusual for you as a Yankees fan to feel uncomfortable with a playoff division lead right now.
The Red Sox have been good, they're not good now, but there was a good 10-year stretch there where the Red Sox were real good. So we were always battling with them. You never really felt comfortable. But Toronto kind of came out of nowhere, so we feel blindsided, I think, a little bit. We've got somewhere around 16 games between the Yankees and Blue Jays for the rest of the season. So those games are going to be huge in deciding who wins the division and whether or not one of these teams can get the wild card.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Blue Jays coming out of nowhere. It seems like the last few years, the Blue Jays have always been in play as contenders up until about the midway point of the season. And then halfway through the season, they just fall apart. Well, this year, they really went all out at the trade deadline. And they picked up David Price and Troy Tulowitzki, two premier players in the league. And they are really playing some great ball since then. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. And they're on a 6-game winning streak right now. So look out for the Blue Jays. I think that they are going to end up taking over the division. Now, I think the Yankees will probably end up in the wild card spot, but still, you'd much rather take the division, obviously, and not have to gamble with a 1-game play-in.
Yeah, I mean, there are some other teams in the mix for the wild card. Texas, Minnesota, Baltimore. The American League is just kind of a jumble right now. It's anybody's guess who's going to get the wild card, but Minnesota is falling apart like we thought they would. Texas is a team that I'd keep an eye on, because now that they got Cole Hamels, their hitting is starting to pick up a little bit. I think they could be dangerous. I don't really buy into Baltimore, so I think the wild card is going to be two of Angels, Blue Jays, Yankees, and Rangers.
I mean, yeah, the Yankees are currently 14 games over 500, and the Rangers are sitting right at 500, so they'll have a long way to go to catch up with the Yankees, but there is that second wild card spot. I think the Yankees will take the first wild card spot, though.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me with that is they have so many games against the Blue Jays that if the Blue Jays are going to take the division, that means they're going to beat the Yankees a lot. So that's a lot of losses. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds.
And with that, we're going to send it over to Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Kicking us off for our first tweet is from @RussellTOB. The Mets are talented with power young starters. Who would you say is the top marquee starter this season?
I think I'm going to say Matt Harvey. He's definitely the superstar of this pitching staff. He's the face of the team. It looks like they have control over him until 2019, so he's going to be there for a few more years. And he's the guy that New York City gets excited about. When he's pitching, you can feel the difference in the stadium. And he's really something else. He is a stud.
Well, he is. And he's pitching with a 2.76 ERA right now through 140 innings pitched so far this season. And those are great numbers. Anything under 3 is just a stellar ERA. But if you want to look at a real stud with the same number of innings pitched, actually a third of an inning less, Jacob DeGrom is pitching it to the tune of a 2.13 ERA right now. He is just playing some stellar ball at the moment. Jacob DeGrom is who I'd go with as their best pitcher right now. However, in a couple of years, it's going to be Noah Syndergaard. Syndergaard is just incredible. He's a beast of a human being. I'm not worried about his endurance at all. And in his rookie season still, he's pitching a 2.66 ERA, which is still better than Matt Harvey.
He has a lot of star power, too. The fans are really embracing him with the whole Thor's Hammer thing. They're bringing the big Thor's Hammers to the games. So he's a really big star there, too. The Mets pitching staff looks phenomenal going forward.
We were talking a minute ago about their hitting. Yoenis Cespedes was just the perfect complement to that pitching staff because they were losing all of these close games, and now they get to win a bunch of those close games. I think they should have added one more hitter at the deadline to really help put them over the edge because you can't expect Cespedes to do it every single game, but they look scary.
Yeah, you're probably right. They probably could have used like a 300 hitter to add to Yoenis Cespedes' power.
So our next tweet is coming from a really cool handle that we got over here, @SadlyCatless.
SadlyCatless?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
He's approaching us with a question and a comment. Question, why the F is A-Rod still allowed to play baseball? Comment, Yankees suck.
Oh, man. Brutal. As a Yankees fan, I'm pretty used to this kind of hate. Everyone says the Yankees suck. The Yankees don't actually suck. They're in first place right now. So
and 14 games over 500. Yeah. It's hard to say they
pretty
suck.
Pretty decent baseball team. But I get it. Like, I say the Patriots suck all the time. They don't actually suck, obviously. So it's just you know, East Coast hate. That's fine.
As for Sadly Catless's question, why the F is A-Rod still allowed to play baseball? Well, because he served his suspension and he's still a very good baseball player. Yeah, that's really all there is to it.
Yeah, he did his time. And this latest suspension, he didn't even test positive for PEDs. He was just on a list that said he took PEDs. So, I mean, that's why he's still allowed to play baseball. Also, he wrote a very heartfelt handwritten apology letter that can't be overlooked.
And by the way, right now, A-Rod is hitting .279 on the season with 24 homers, 63 RBIs, and a .387 OBP. And like we said, he served his time. So that's why he's still allowed to play.
And our last tweet is coming to us from @DupaG271. What do you think the Bears need to make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, where do we start? Let's see. They need... Their offense is pretty solid besides, you know, the quarterback. And they need about half of a new defense. And, yeah, that should do it. So, like, 13 more good players, give or take, including, you know, the most important guy on the team. Yeah, that's what it would take.
Dupa G, that's an awesome Twitter handle. We're killing it with Twitter handles today. Yeah, I mean, we could get into the Jay Cutler debate. We'll save that for another show. But, you know, he's the type of quarterback who's going to win you some games, but he's not going to win you a Super Bowl. He's not going to win you the season. So, yeah, I agree with you there. And their defense does have a lot of question marks. They have a lot of players changing position on defense this year, which is going to be interesting to see.
Well, yeah, because they just switched from a 4-3, which they've run for years, to a 3-4, or a hybrid 3-4. So that will be interesting to see.
They have at least three defensive ends moving to outside linebacker. And Lamar Houston's the only one of those three who I believe has played any outside linebacker.
Yeah, and one of the guys who's playing outside linebacker for the first time in his career is Jared Allen, who's getting up there in years. Now, Jared Allen's been a great player in the league for a long time, but I don't want to see a guy past 30 having to switch positions.
Yeah, the Bears have no shot at the Super Bowl.
No, none whatsoever.
Okay, that wraps up the Tweet Zone. Find us on Twitter, guys, @TheSportsAppeal. Like I said, we try to respond to every person who tweets at us. We love hearing from you guys.
Coming up in the next segment, we will have the first of our three-week-long breakdown of the upcoming NFL season.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
And we're back. We're going to start with our NFL season preview. This week we're going to do the AFC West, the AFC North, and the AFC South. Tune in next week for the NFC West, NFC South, and NFC East. So we're going to start with AFC West, and when we start there, Matt, we have to start with the Broncos. 12-4 last year, had a disappointing loss in the playoffs because Peyton Manning was injured. What do you have your eye on for them this year?
Well, they fired John Fox after the season was over, and I get it, but at the same time, they then hired Gary Kubiak, and I don't think Gary Kubiak is nearly as good a coach as John Fox. So, like, I get it, but it's not a step up. So that's really what I'm keeping my eye on. That and our debate from a few weeks ago about where I think that they should rest Peyton Manning at least aggressively throughout the season, if not for most of the regular season, and everyone tells me I'm crazy.
You are crazy. But, yeah, so Wes Welker's gone. Julius Thomas is gone. But I think the big thing that's going to hurt them is Orlando Franklin left. He was a tackle for them last year. Ryan Clady's out for the season. Their offensive line is the question for me. Like I said, they lost Julius Thomas, but they brought in Owen Daniels, who has been a Gary Kubiak guy his entire career. He's with them in Houston. He was with them in Baltimore. So I think he's going to have a big season because we know Peyton Manning likes his tight end.
They also re-signed Demaryius Thomas for a lot of money, but it had to be done. He's a premier wide receiver in the league, so that had to happen. They were 12-4 last year. I've got them at about 11-5 this year, but I think that they're going to have another early playoff exit because I just don't see Peyton Manning having the stamina to keep it up. Now, like I said, I think they're taking a step back with the coaching staff, but you've got Peyton Manning, and really he's probably the one running the show, so I don't know how much the coaching staff really matters, at least offensively.
I think 11-5 is probably right, and it's not a knock on the Broncos. I think the other three teams in this division have all taken steps forward. Small steps forward, but steps forward nonetheless. The Chiefs added Jeremy Maclin, which they desperately needed a number one wide receiver. They had Dwayne Bowe last year, who did not perform like Dwayne Bowe. The Chargers added Orlando Franklin from the Broncos, and they added Stevie Johnson and Jacoby Jones to help Keenan Allen in the passing game, and they drafted Melvin Gordon. So I think they took a step forward as well.
Yeah, I really think that the Chargers did a great job of retooling in the offseason. They already had a pretty good offense last year, headlined, of course, by Phillip Rivers, who is a very good quarterback still. Now, also, the team has some uncertainty because they're considering a move to L.A., and Phillip Rivers does not want to go to L.A. He's entering into a contract year this year, so I'm expecting him to even take it up another notch. He's a very talented passer. He doesn't rely a whole lot on athleticism, so the fact that he's getting up there into his mid-30s now shouldn't matter too much. And like you said, they did a great job of retooling their offensive skill positions, plus adding Melvin Gordon as their first-round draft pick, who I think should help them out a lot. You're looking at a very good offense this year, and their defense is decent. So I agree. I think they take a step forward. I've got them at about 10-6 or 11-5 this year.
And let's talk about the Raiders real quick, too. They added a lot of talent this offseason. They added Dan Williams, who's a gigantic defensive lineman, Malcolm Smith, the former Super Bowl MVP, Roy Helu, Michael Crabtree. They drafted Amari Cooper and Mario Edwards out of Florida State, who's an awesome D lineman, and Clive Walford, who I think is a really underrated tight end. I think he's going to have a great season.
The three biggest things for them this year are hiring Jack Del Rio, who I expect to be a pretty good head coach.
Yeah.
It's their second season under Derek Carr now, who played pretty damn well as a rookie last year, and then adding Amari Cooper, who I think is going to be a Pro Bowler or close to it right out of the gates. So I expect them to take a big step forward, but it's probably not going to show up too much record-wise because their schedule's really brutal. I think they're probably going to go about 5-11 this year, but mostly on account of their schedule. I think they're almost an average team skill-wise.
Yeah, and I mean, they did lose Matt Schaub, so you have to, account for that. All right, so let's go through it. We said, I think we agree pretty much on this. Broncos at 11-5. Chiefs and Chargers probably about the same between 9-7, 10-6, that area. And then the Raiders with about 5 wins.
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's move on to the AFC North then. Last year, the Steelers won this division at 11-5. They had one of the best offenses in football. So can they repeat that? That's the question for me.
Yes, they can. Big Ben really took a step forward last year and went back up to a passer rating of above 100 for the first time in several years. They extended Tomlinson, but they let Dick LeBeau go. Now, Dick LeBeau is one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the league, but it was really getting stale there for them. So letting him go was the right thing to do. Now, it's interesting, they replaced him with their linebackers coach, Keith Butler. We'll see if that works out for them or not. Then Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor both retired, which they've been fantastic players throughout their careers, but they were just way past their primes. It was time for them to retire. In my opinion, they did not do enough to retool. I think they'll probably go about 9-7 this year.
I disagree that they didn't do enough to retool. They brought in Bud Dupree in the draft, who's an outstanding defensive end, outside linebacker from Kentucky. Senquez Golson, who was really underrated last year in the SEC. He was a defensive back at Ole Miss. He's got a lot of potential. He could be really good. And Gerard Holloman, the safety from Louisville, they got him in the 7th round, and he actually won the Jim Thorpe Award last year for the best defensive back in the country. So they did a great job in the draft bringing in young talent to replace these old guys who are leaving.
Yeah, they did, but it's still out of the draft. How much can you rely on these rookies to take up the slack left by Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor in their first year in the league?
It's not that hard. These guys were great players, but last year, they weren't great players. They were okay players last year. So to step in and take their place, not that big a deal.
Yeah, but they still had a great understanding of the game, and that's really what you're going to be missing from a couple of rookies coming in to take their places, is that understanding of the game. You're going to expect a lot of mental mistakes.
Yeah, there's really no substitute for experience. So let's move on to my favorite in the division this year, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why?
They're good, man. They went 10-5-1 last year without A.J. Green for most of the season. They brought in Michael Johnson and A.J. Hawk on defense. This is a much improved team, especially with A.J. Green coming back, and I think they're going to take this division.
They're still going to go 10-6 and lose in the first round of the playoffs like they always do. It's 4 years running now. Andy Dalton can't play in the playoffs. Andy Dalton can't really play at all. He especially can't play in the playoffs.
If you think they're going to be 10-6, why are you so incredulous that I think they're going to win the division?
I'm not saying that they're not going to win the division. I just don't know why you're excited about them. Yes, they're good. They're definitely good. They're very talented on defense and have a pretty decent offense with some great skill players. They're the antithesis of exciting to me because Andy Dalton is just so bland and they always just get schooled in the first round of the playoffs. So there's just no excitement for me there until they prove otherwise.
AJ Green, Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, Tyler Eifert. These guys are exciting players. I don't know what you're talking about.
Eh.
How can I argue with that? All right, let's move on. Let's go to the Ravens. Joe Flacco, is he elite?
Regular season Joe Flacco is exactly Jay Cutler, is exactly Eli Manning. Same quarterback. In the playoffs, yes, he is absolutely elite. This guy's playoff numbers are absurd. I mean, what he put up on that Super Bowl run a couple years ago was absolutely ridiculous. On that Super Bowl run, he put up double-digit touchdown numbers and no interceptions all the way through. Something about this guy, when he hits the playoffs, he just goes Super Saiyan. And then they added Mark Trestman as their offensive coordinator, which like kind of makes my head explode as a Bears fan watching the shit show he made of my team. But I still have to separate myself from that. This is a good move for them. Mark Trestman, everywhere he goes in the league, he's good for 1 or 2 years and then gets fired after his second or his third year, depending on whether he shits the bed in his second or third year. So because Joe Flacco isn't a head case like Jay Cutler is, I expect them to do really well this season under Mark Trestman, and probably next season as well. You're not going to have Flacco just refusing to run the plays like Jay Cutler reportedly did. I expect them to go, I don't know, 11-5 this year.
Whoa.
And Mark Trestman, anytime he goes to a new team as the offensive coordinator or as a major part of the offense, they do really well offensively. Now, we know the Ravens have a good defense, so they should be very scary this year.
They lost Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones, and Owen Daniels. Those are three really important pieces in the passing game. Justin Forsett's like 42 years old. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. It's just not going to happen. Their defense is okay. They lost Pernell McPhee, who's a big piece. He went to your Bears. So I don't see it with this team. A lot of people are in love with the Ravens this year. I don't get it. I don't. All right, let's talk about the NFL's favorite punching bag, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, they got Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel as their quarterbacks. Who knows who's going to win that quarterback competition?
They also brought in Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline. They're really stocking up for their playoff run this year.
Oh, yeah. Now, they did do a couple important things. They used their first three picks, including two first-rounders, to improve in the trenches. They got a defensive tackle, a center, and a defensive end in that order. So if they actually, contrary to their nature, did a good job drafting, then that should help them in a couple years once those guys develop. But they're not looking good this year.
Yeah, Duke Johnson in the third round is going to be huge for them. He's actually going to see some playing time, the running back out of Miami. And Ifo, I gotta get this name right, Ifo Ekpraelomu, defensive back out of Oregon. He was a projected first round pick until he blew up his knee practicing in December, and he fell to them in the seventh round. He's gonna be a starter in this league. He could be the steal of the draft.
We've got one more division still to talk about, but we are running out of time for this segment. So when we come back, we're gonna talk AFC South and do sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
And we're back. It's Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. He's Matt. We've been talking about the NFL, starting our preview for you guys for the season. We just did the AFC West and North. Right now we do the AFC South. Last year the Colts won the division and made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, which they hung a banner for.
Yeah, AFC finalists.
But I expect the Colts to be good this year. They're one of my favorites to make it to the Super Bowl.
They need a true number one wide receiver. They let go of Reggie Wayne and they signed Andre Johnson, which is really kind of a lateral move. So I don't expect them to get much better on that account.
You don't think T.Y. Hilton's the number one?
He's good. I mean, he's very good. But I'm talking a game changer, a Brandon Marshall or a Sammy Watkins type.
I mean, he had 82 catches last year on 130 targets. Those are number one numbers. 1,300 yards.
Yeah, that's more on account of Andrew Luck's greatness than... I mean, don't get me wrong. T.Y. Hilton's a very good wide receiver. But if you gave him a true number one in the league, and I'm talking a big guy, a guy who's 6'2 or taller, T.Y. Hilton's only 5'9. The fact that Andrew Luck managed to hit him that many times is, to me, as much about Andrew Luck as it is about T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, so a guy like Andre Johnson, then?
Andre Johnson's just old. Exactly a guy like Andre Johnson 5 years ago. So, yeah, if you give him a really good wideout instead of just a very good wideout, then, yes, they are true Super Bowl contenders. Until then, I'm not quite buying it.
Andre Johnson is a little bit old. I believe he's 31 now. His career's been trending down a little bit. Not that much, though. The perception's a lot worse than he's actually been. And Andrew Luck's the type of quarterback who can make his receivers better. So I really expect Andre Johnson to have a good season this year. Frank Gore's a huge upgrade from Trent Richardson and Ahmad Bradshaw last year.
That is absolutely true.
And they signed Trent Cole and Nate Irving on defense, which Trent Cole is a veteran. We know what he is. Nate Irving is a guy that probably only Broncos fans have heard of, but he's a high motor guy. He's going to be big at linebacker.
As for wide receivers, they drafted Philip Dorsett in the first round. He's got 4.33 40 speed, but he's also shorter than Steve, so I don't know how much that's really going to help. You've got another short wide receiver there.
I'm 6'1", shorter than me. What are you talking about?
All right, well, he's 5'10", and he is, that's a little undersized for a wideout, but that speed is great. That's take the top off a defense kind of speed. They went 11-5 last year, and they have a moderately difficult schedule, so they should take the division again, and probably around 11-5 again, maybe 12-4.
They're definitely going to take the division again, because the Titans improved a little, Jacksonville improved a little. Houston lost Arian Foster for the season. Let's talk about Houston. Who's the quarterback? Is it Brian Hoyer? Is it Ryan Mallett?
Yeah, you can live with either of those guys. This team is all about the defense, though. You've got J.J. Watt, who's just remarkable. You can't say enough about how good that guy is. And then they should be getting Jadeveon Clowney back, who didn't really play at all last year. And he was the number one pick in the draft last season. You put him next to J.J. Watt, that is scary.
And they brought in Vince Wilfork, too, for the middle of that line. So, yeah, their defensive line is going to be beast. I'm a little concerned about their secondary. They did draft Kevin Johnson in the first round out of Wake Forest, who was my favorite defensive back prospect. And they brought in Joe Flacco's favorite safety, Raheem Moore. So I think they improved their secondary a little bit, and their defense is good. But they don't have a running back, and you cannot win in the NFL without a running back.
Yeah, I see them going 10-6, though.
Whoa.
I think they improve a little bit just on the strength of their defense improving, especially getting Jadeveon Clowney back. Assuming he can actually play this year, that's all predicated on Jadeveon Clowney staying healthy. They have to improve. He's such a difference maker. He was incredible in college.
Just because he was good in college doesn't mean they have to improve. This is not a 10-6 team. This is a 7-9, 8-8 team. Who do you think has improved more in the offseason, the Jaguars or the Titans?
Now, I wouldn't necessarily say in the offseason, but I say the Jaguars improved more on the growth of Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Because Blake Bortles is going to be a good quarterback in this league. I really like what I've seen from him. He showed flashes of being very good. He also had some growing pains. Now, in his second season, expect those growing pains to go away. And then you've got Gus Bradley going into his third year as a head coach. A lot of Jaguars fans are still very excited about him. But they got to do a little better in order for that excitement to maintain. I expect them to win 6 or 7 games this year, and if not, they might be looking at getting a new head coach again.
If they get a full season out of Allen Robinson, he was a rookie wide receiver last year out of Penn State. He was awesome when he was on the field. He could potentially be a true number one receiver, so if they get a full season out of him, it'll be really cool to see how he interacts with Blake Bortles. Great. But in the draft this year, they got bitten by the old Jacksonville bug. They drafted Dante Fowler Jr. in the first round. He's out for the season. They drafted James Sample, safety at Louisville in the third round, broke his arm. It's just the same old Jacksonville.
They can't catch a break. That's really brutal. I do expect Dante Fowler to be a good player, but not this year, obviously.
Right.
As for the Titans, they drafted Mariota, who I expect to be a passable NFL quarterback in the league, at least. But this is his first season, and he does not have an NFL-ready skill set. So I expect them to go about 3-13. Mariota is going to have some growing pains. And they signed Dick LeBeau as a defensive coordinator. It'll be interesting to see if he can add to their defense at all.
This team was so bad last year, Jake Locker just said, I don't want to do this anymore, and he retired. They just swap out Nate Washington for Harry Douglas and Akeem Nix, so that could be an upgrade there. They signed Brian Arakpo, and they drafted David Cobb, the running back out of Minnesota, who is really underrated coming into the draft. He could easily replace Bishop Sankey as the running back. I don't know how good they're going to be. We'll see what Mariota does, but yeah, probably 4 wins, maybe 5.
They look like a team on the rise, but not this year.
And with that, let's take it to Sports Madness.
Sports Madness.
Our first Sports Madness story this week comes from New Orleans, where a man was arrested. He was in jail, and he's being transferred to a different facility. Now, first of all, this guy has Who Dat tattooed across his forehead in large print.
It's an interesting font choice, too. I like the font choice.
It's like old English. It's pretty nice. So he's waiting to be transported, and apparently that's when he lunges forward all of a sudden and grabs a deputy's crotchular region. So 6 deputies had to come in and help, and apparently the guy got his hands on somebody else. So there were 2 victims here. So this guy was already a prisoner, and now he's being charged with 2 counts of sexual battery.
So Saints fans, keep your hands to yourselves.
Apparently they also put him in a van afterwards to actually transport him like they were planning on doing, and he started kicking the van's windows and swinging around a metal step stool inside the van. So this guy's got a few screws loose.
Our next story comes to us from a whole city that has a few screws loose. The Phillies now have a petition. They're petitioning to have Pope Francis bless Sam Bradford's knees. They have so far 277 signatures on this petition. And I think it might be the only thing that works.
They should have him bless his shoulders. They should have him bless his elbows. Everything. Guy's made of glass.
Yeah, the knees are definitely the worst, though.
They need him to stay healthy.
Yes, they do. And our last Sports Madness story is actually a twofer that we're calling tone-deaf tweets. So first of all, the Indianapolis Colts tweeted out a couple days ago, bring unused or expired prescription drugs for safe disposal to the hashtag Colts camp on August 9th and receive the 2014 highlights DVD.
Yeah, seems legit. Bring your unused prescription drugs to a team whose owner just got busted having illegal pills.
Yeah, we're on to you, Jim Irsay. We are on to you.
Wonder who's running that PR department.
And our second tone-deaf tweet comes to us from the Minnesota Vikings, who tweeted out a seemingly innocuous tweet, family day at hashtag Vikings camp, with a picture of Adrian Peterson, who is recently known for beating the shit out of his child with a stick.
Who's running this PR department?
Yeah. Now I get it. He's the face of the franchise, but really anybody else for family day, at least for like a year or two.
They have a couple. They could put Teddy Bridgewater up there. He just bought a Cadillac for his mom. Perfect.
That's all the time we got for you today. Join us again next week here on Sports Appeal. And as always, tweet at us at the Sports Appeal. Find us on Facebook. We're produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. And playing us out is going to be Row Your Boat. Yellow and green, orange and white, purple and we'll
Hazard Audio.